Good morning, everyone. It's time for us to begin this morning. We are continuing our study on worshiping the Lord and the beauty of holiness. We are on lesson 3 this week, discussing the reasons for worship. Before we get into the lesson, let's start with a word of prayer. Our great, our awesome Father in heaven, we bow before you with humble hearts. We are just come before your throne, acknowledging how wonderful you are. We acknowledge how great you are, how powerful you are. It is our goal this morning to give you the glory that is due your name. Father, we pray that you would be with us in our study this morning as we think about the reasons for worship. As we think about who you are and how powerful you are, but yet how loving you are. We are just in awe of you and we adore you. Father, we pray that you would be with each teacher and each student in this building this morning, in every class, and just help every student to be able to wrap their minds around the things that are studied this morning. And as we think about worship this morning, help us to prepare our hearts so that we would have our hearts fully engaged for worship and that we would give you the honor that you deserve. Father, we thank you for all things. We love you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we discussed Greek. All right, if you were here last week, we discussed the root words behind what worship is. And this morning we're going to get into the reasons for worship, which is lesson 3. And I'll warn you now, I'm going to take some creative license with the material. We're not going to follow the material exactly as what you have in the lesson 3. And hopefully you'll understand why as we progress through this morning. Just as a reminder, we discussed the root word for worship. And we discuss these other words that describe what worship is. To venerate. To show the honor that is due. To give the respect that is due. To adore God. To revere Him. To be prostrate. To fall down. To pay homage. To give a public display of honor. To fawn over God and show piety. So that was really our discussion last week as we think about coming before the throne of God, that it's not just something that we do haphazardly. We do it intentionally. We come before God, but we also do it with the right spirit. We come before Him with the right attitude. And these were the words that we used to describe that. Which leads me to the question of this morning. Why then do we worship? We've looked at Psalm 29 and verse 2 several times this quarter already. It says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness, in the beauty of holiness." Why do we worship? Because He says to, right? The supreme authority and the supreme being said to worship. It's an important reason too. Why else do we worship? It's great love, Paul.
Yeah, let's kind of think about this event. God's done everything for us. He gave His Son. He sent Him to a cross. Death, burial, resurrected. We owe Him something. We can never repay Him enough, but we owe Him something for doing everything He's done for us. And to the best of our ability, we can do is come and worship Him, to give Him some respect and love due Him for what He's done for us.
And that is really highlighted in this verse. It is due His name. When something is due to you, if I have a bill that comes to me, and there's a due date on there with an amount that I have to pay, I've indebted myself to whatever entity that I'm getting that from, and I've said I'm going to pay it, and they've given me a date. This is due by this day. In our sense, there is a glory that is due God. There is a glory that is due who He is. There is a glory that is due His name. And he said, you do that on a Sunday, on the first day of the week. That you come collectively and you worship me. It is due me. I've earned it. In worship services, we stay away from words like earning it. But God has earned it. God has glory that is due Him. We worship God because He deserves it. Because He is worthy. We don't worship some man that's here. We don't worship some person that's on this face of the earth like the Pope. We don't worship some being that lives here on this earth. A human being. We don't worship that. Why? Because they don't deserve it. God does. We worship God because the glory is due His name. He deserves it. We're going to look at a few verses this morning that I believe describe that idea. Revelation chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. When I hear Revelation 4 and verse 8, I get the impression, I get the idea that God deserves worship. If the four living creatures that are described here are worshiping God and they're saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Guess what we ought to do? Same thing. We come before His throne and we say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. In verse 9, whenever these living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him. Think of our study last week. They are falling down. They are worshiping Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. These individuals are coming around and they're falling down before God. And they're worshiping Him. Why? Because He deserves it. He is worthy of it. In verse 10, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy are You, O our Lord and God. They, these 24 elders, these four living creatures, are saying, You are worthy. I am not. They're saying, You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. God deserves it. He deserves our worship. He is worthy of our worship. In Psalm 95, we'll read verses 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. We've used that verse a time or two before we sing songs. The individual leading songs will get up and read this verse. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's worthy of our worship. When you think about a king, we don't live under a society and a culture that has kings like they did back then. One of the words we looked at last week was to kiss the hand to a king. They are coming and they are kissing the hand to the king that deserves worship and deserves glory. In verse 4, His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. The sea is His. He made it. Think about that. 2/3 of this earth are covered in water. God made that. It's His. It belongs to Him. His hands formed the dry ground. The ground that I'm walking on this morning. Standing on right now. God formed it. Oh, come, let us bow down and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. God deserves our worship. In 1 John chapter 4, if we acknowledge then that God deserves our worship, I don't know that there's anybody here that would disagree with that thought. Why does God deserve it? Why is He worthy? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Why does God deserve worship?
Because He's our mighty Counselor, our God, our Creator.
He's our Creator, He's our Maker. So we think about the context of 1 John chapter 4. Why does God deserve it? Josh?
Our Savior, there's a verse that comes to mind which I think kind of illustrates why He deserves it. And it's Romans 13. You know, one of the first verses you read was, "Give them the opposite to do His name." And Romans 13 says, "Render therefore to all their due." Now that's in the context of government, but it says to honor those to whom honor is due. Well, why do we honor? Why should we honor our government? Because they do things for us. Make life easier. You know, sometimes a little critical of things, but those roads that we're driving on are from the government, the police officers, and all those people that protect us. So there's reasons to be thankful. And we see that with honoring your parents, honor your father and mother. But why should when you tell them that you should be honoring me, not just because I command it, because I do things for you. There's no way you can do for yourself. And when you think about God, and He's done for us through His Son something we could never do for ourselves, or He's saving us.
God saves us. God loves us. He's not just created us and sent us to this earth and then said, "You're on your own, figure it out." God loves us. Nathan, and then Seth.
When you think about Paul in Athens, he's walking around and sees all these, you know, they're honoring God of the Son, God of the Sea, whatever it is. And they deserve that honor. Why? Because those things give them a plant, sticky. But they were giving honor to a God they didn't know about. And guess what? This God was the God above them. It was the God who gives life, and also is life, breath, and everything. So He gives us everything that we need. He holds our very breath in His hand. Of course, when we use that breath, praise Him and send sort of honor.
Seth. Even as we do that for this, for a lot of reasons we talked about, because He deserves it, because He created us, because He sent His Son down. Constant worship and prayer relieves our stresses, our worries, it makes our lives better just in doing it. And so while we're giving Him honor and praise, He's still helping us even more.
God demonstrates His love to us, that He sent His Son into this world so that we might live through Him. I worship God because He loves me. He is worthy of my worship because He loves me. Not loved me one time, but loves me. And a few of you have brought up examples of that. He continues to love me even now. I worship God because He is worthy. And He's worthy because He loves me. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Why do we worship God? Why is He worthy? Why is He worthy of our worship? Dwayne?
You know, a lot of times we'll talk about the big picture. And, you know, we might be very knowledgeable in a certain subject. And we might go on to earn our master's or a PhD or something in some subject. But it's very humbling to understand that we're just going to turn back what God already knows. Right? We might devote an entire lifetime to say, oh, well, you know, this is how the cardiovascular system works. So this is how these things work. And God's like, yeah, because I created it. Right? And we understand when we read something like this, how evil our mind is. And then when we try to sit there and say that, well, you know, I don't think that's what God meant when He says this. Then we start to realize that there are always things that we don't know and we don't understand that God just spoke into me. And, you know, when you compare yourself to someone like that, realize how unworthy we are, how needy we are. You know, one of the things I tell my kids all the time is, the very air we breathe is only there because God wants it. You know, when we read about the oxygen cycle and us expelling carbon dioxide and everything else, but all of that had a design. And when you think about that, it just baffles the mind. And you understand this is why we worry. Because our very life, our sustainment of our lives, the fact that we're here, it's all because He designed it both of them.
He designed our bodies to be the way they are. But He also spoke it. It didn't take Him 1,000 years to figure out how to make the respiratory system work and the cardiovascular. He spoke it, and it became. Jake, I think I saw your hand.
Yeah, just what this verse or this passage right here makes me think of is, you know, so He's comparing directly our thoughts, our intelligence, our ways, our methods to His. And to me, why does God deserve it? Well, can you imagine being led and following one of us? Like in the way that God, can you imagine worshiping somebody who thinks like us, whose ways are the same as ours? Who, I mean, that would be, I would say, bad worshiping or following somebody who is just the same as me. I'd like to know, I'm comforted that the God I worship is much more, because that means that I can follow His will and know that I'm okay. Because if I follow anybody else's will, even mine, I know I'm messed up.
Yeah. Good thought. Is that the number? Yeah, the whole design thing, I was going to say the same thing Dwayne did. You know, you think about even God knows everything about each of us and is able to provide for us the unanswered prayers and that sort of thing. But God is also exempt from any laws of physics that we know, that we put in place, we think that we've got down. I mean, if there is only He that is worthy of worship for only that reason, if anything else. I mean,
we create a law of science, and the law of science says X, and then 50 years later we go, that wasn't right.
It's a rule, you know? I mean, he can do whatever he wants to do.
Yep. Worship's very much an exchange initiated by God. And He's saying, you know, first and foremost, I'm due this. First and foremost, I'm worthy of this. And in exchange, there's a lot that happens for you that you may not realize. And there's such great wisdom in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get to a few of those points later, hopefully as time allows. Why does God deserve our worship? John chapter 10 and verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. We spent a lot of time talking about this two quarters ago, who Jesus is. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Why does God deserve our worship? Because he saves us. He has laid out a plan for you and for me to have the forgiveness of my sins. He didn't need to do that, but he did. He sent his son. He didn't need to send his son, but he did. And when I think about my life and I think about coming before his throne, and when I consider the fact that he saves me actively, he saves me. He saves each and every person sitting in this room. God deserves our worship for that. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Why does God deserve our worship? Because he teaches us. Where do we get faith?
God's Word.
God's Word. Where does God's Word come from?
From God.
From God. God has provided his will to me and to you, to every person. He's provided that. And I can believe it. I can have faith in it. He teaches me the ways that are right. He teaches you ways that are right. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. We describe that as a book of wisdom. It is full of it. Why? Because of the point we referenced earlier, his ways are higher than my ways. And when I pay attention to what he says, and I listen to what he says, and then actually do it, I learn. And he teaches us. God deserves our worship. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned that the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need, I can do all things through him who strengthens me." God deserves our worship because he strengthens us. How does God strengthen us? John?
His word. Okay. Is a key place to start.
It's a good place to start, right? We think about his word giving us strength. How does his word give us strength? When we're going through times of difficulty, and we can read in his book, his revealed word, words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of comfort, it gives us strength. Dwayne?
Think about the Paul and his thorn in the flesh. You know, the fact that he said that thorn was there to keep him humble. He asked God, "Please take this from." And, you know, I think it was purposely left vague so that we can apply it to our lives. But we understand that we might think that we know everything, or we might understand it, but we have this weakness, this challenge, this thorn in the flesh. And it helps us to rely on God and understand that, you know, the old saying that me plus God is a majority, right? And when we submit to him and when we rely on him, we have all the strength that we need. There are many times where I've been overwhelmed and you just turn it over to him. Some of us talked about earlier, right? When you're in prayer, when you're worshiping him, you just turn it over to him because you realize this is too big for you to face alone. That's the greatest example of strength that I can think of.
In times of despair and difficulty, when we can turn to God and let God have it, you want to talk about strength? That is more strength than any human being can muster. That is a strength in the power of God. Go ahead, Jake.
So God is a God of opposites. We're upside down. It's what we think is right. It's usually the opposite, really. When we are strong is when we are weak. And then when we submit and we understand, John said, the word, we not only have to know it,
We have to trust and submit to it. And that means acknowledging that we are weaker than God. That means acknowledging that we're not as smart as God. That means everything. Not just strength, not just intelligence, not just being, but everything. We are in subject to Him. So realizing we are weak and He is strong, and so therefore applying or trusting God enough to trust in what He has said and to apply that to our lives, that's where we become not of ourselves, but we do become strong.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate that. So the first point we've looked at this morning, so we worship God because He deserves it. He is worthy of our worship. And we've looked at a few examples, not every example we could talk about. We could spend the next week sitting in this room talking about why God is worthy of our worship. Those are just a few examples. But when we consider that He deserves our worship and we consider the reasons why, there's something that happens when we collectively come together and do that. Right? Psalm 147 and verse 10. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. When we collectively come together and worship God, guess what? He's pleased with that. You think that's true? How do we know it's true? Because He says so. So to the point that was referenced at the very beginning of our study, we could just say, we're going to worship God because He says so. Is God pleased with all worship? We need what? In John 4, 24. We need what? We need two things.
God is the Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth.
Right, that's right. Worship in spirit and in truth. Appreciate that, Jerry. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. And when we fulfill that, when we worship God the way that He is intended, the way He is designed, the way He is commanded, when we do that in exactly the way that He has said, and we also do it in the right attitude. We talked last week extensively about adoring God. We talked about giving Him the reverence that is due Him, honoring Him, paying homage to Him, fawning after Him. When we do both of those things together, guess what? He's pleased with that. And we can take great comfort in that. What else happens when we give God the glory that He deserves? Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read verses 19 and then verse 24 and part of 25. The larger context there gives a really good explanation, and so I've tried to highlight a few verses there. In verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. What is he talking about? That he has confidence to enter the holy places. You think about the Old Testament. The holy place was for the high priest. And the high priest would go in once a year and offer a sacrifice. He would do what? He would worship. We now have the ability to enter the holy places. Not a physical tabernacle like they had back then, but we have it by the power and the blood of Jesus. When we have confidence to enter the holy places, when we have confidence to enter into worship, we have confidence by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. He tore everything down in the old covenant when He died on the cross. That was the pivotal moment that changed the course of history. And when we have confidence to come before Him and worship, not as an individual of the tribe of Levi, but we have confidence to come before Him as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus, let us consider then how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. When we come before Him in worship, we are edified. We can stir one another up. I can encourage you. You can encourage me. How do we do that?
Love and good works.
Love and good works. So let's get practical. What does that mean?
Okay, right now, I'm only receiving it that I had shoulder surgery in October. Rebecca just had back surgery. I haven't had to suffer in 3, 4, 5 days. that means a lot. You know, we've got a big family. And so just the ability to be able to focus on her healing, to focus on keeping the house running and not have to worry about a meal. You know, sometimes it's a little thing that we might not think is a big thing, but that encourages people. That's encouragement. You know, cards, phone calls, visits, letters, things that, you know, Rebecca has received just since she's had her back surgery. That encourages her. It's tough to heal. You know, you're on pain medicine, you hurt, you don't want to do anything, you're just having brothers and sisters drop by and visit and build her up. It's a very practical thing. Yeah, that's a lot of good work.
And the point of that is not for you to be encouraged in the decency of humanity. Now, look at how good people are. You look at God and say, God, your design is flawless. That you have designed your plan in a way that there would be a people that would come together and worship God, and those people would be so invested in you that they would serve me. I can take comfort, take encouragement in that. How else do we encourage one another when we come together? Jake?
There's a reason, it's important, but it's also very common sense. Why he says, serve one another to love and good works, and then in the same breath, not neglecting to meet together. There's a reason, let's try to serve one another to love and good works by ourselves, not with each other. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'll just send some good vibes to this brother or sister's way, and surely that will encourage them to love and good works. So we need to be together. We need to be plugged in together. I need to see you. I need to talk to you. I can't just, you know, not be around the brethren and still try to serve you up.
When we think about collectively on a Sunday morning, 200-ish people coming before God and expressing their adoration to God with their voices and singing, that is encouraging. And this room is filled with people lifting their voices to God, expressing how wonderful He is. We can all take comfort in that. When we hear His Word read, we can hear the wisdom that is provided through His will, through His Word. We can take comfort in that. When we hear a message presented that encourages us to live better, that encourages us to live for God, we can take comfort in that. When we think about the ability to come and partake of the Lord's Supper, we can take comfort and encouragement in that because we know there are other people that want to serve God and are bowing themselves before Him, that are falling down flat, as we talked about last week. We can be encouraged in that. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 and 15. Thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. You notice that? Spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. When we come before Him in worship, we're spreading the fragrance of God, the knowledge of Him. We're spreading that. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved, among this body here, and among those who are perishing, those who are not. Our brother Joshua encouraged us last week to go out and spread the message. We spread the aroma of Christ. We can take comfort and we can take encouragement in that. When we come before and give God and give Him the glory that is due His name spreads. And that's a great thing. Why do we worship? Psalm 29 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor, the beauty of holiness. God deserves our worship. Hopefully you've been encouraged to understand that God is worthy this morning. As we talked about some reasons why and some encouragement that we can receive collectively when we do that. We'll continue next week as we look at lesson 4, as we discuss the Sabbath, the Old Testament day of remembrance, the Sabbath.